Well, last week I didn't have a story for you, but I have one this week. Okay? There was this young man who met this woman and fell in love and decided that they were going to get married. And so he tells his mom about this, and he says, "Mom, I would like to bring her home and introduce her to you, but I had a kind of a fun idea. Instead of just bringing her, I'm going to bring her along with two of her friends and let you visit with them a while and see if you can figure out which is the girl I'm going to marry." And Mom says, "I'm in." So the next day, the young man shows up at home with three very attractive young ladies, and they go into the parlor and they share some tea and they have a conversation for an hour. And the son can't contain himself anymore. And he says, "Well, Mom, did you figure out which one of these is the love of my life?" And Mom, without batting an eye, says, "Yeah, it's easy. It's the one on the right." And he is absolutely blown away. And he says, "How could you possibly have figured that out? That's amazing." And she said, "It was no big deal. That's the one I don't like." So today is Mother's Day, and once again, let me start by wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day, and this is on behalf of the entire staff here at Unity of Fox Valley, on behalf of myself as well, and we affirm for you that on this day, that you will realize all of the riches that you so deserve, and I'm not just talking about the Hallmark stuff, but riches, you know, and the level of feeling the fulfillment of spirit deep within your own hearts. And then it's also important on a day like today to acknowledge and realize that as much as this is truly a day for celebration and a sharing of love, this is a day that can be very painful, very difficult for some people. There are moms that have lost children, and there are children that will go through today having suffered the loss of their moms. And there are relationships between mothers and children that sometimes can be very estranged. And so while we are a people of celebration, we do want to be mindful of this and send out a vibe of sensitivity and compassion and love to anybody who might be struggling this day. But still, I would maintain and I would offer that the Mother's Day holiday offers a place for absolutely everybody, male or female, regardless of past experiences, positive or negative. And so what I want to do today is take a look at the Mother's Day holiday from more of a spiritual, metaphysical perspective and invite you to take a couple of steps back and view your own perspectives as something other that is seemingly so readily apparent. And I want to invite you to put on your Christ lens and view your perspectives beyond what is immediately visible to the eye. It's very easy for us on this day to get caught up in the whole Hallmark hoopla and get bogged down and trapped there. And if we're going to be honest here, I think all of us have experienced a Mother's Day in which the experience was so incredibly wonderful that we were absolutely delighted when it was finally over. We do things like grab a hold of Mom, toss her in a van, and drag her off to brunch or to lunch, whether she wants to go or not. Or maybe we invade her home with the grandkids who go running and screaming through the house. And maybe we prepare her dinner, messing up her own kitchen that she's going to have to deal with on Monday morning. Or one of the things that was always a favorite of mine when my mother was still with us, I used to like to go and grab Mom and haul her off to see a movie that I so desperately was dying to see. But as we participate in these Mother's Day rituals, and they absolutely, positively are rituals, our motivations can vary. We may be doing this out of a sense of obligation. We may be doing these kinds of things because it's our understanding that that is what the world wants us to do. We may be doing these things out of a sense of guilt. And on the other side, mom may be going along with the program for many of the same reasons, when all she really would like to do today is kick back, have a nice relaxing afternoon at home, sitting on a couch, watching her favorite television program with her feet up. Now, before anybody starts throwing tomatoes or lambast me for being such a cynic and being so critical, let me hasten to add, I'm not being the least bit judgmental, and I'm not being the least bit critical in whatever relationships you might have and you might be involved in. But Mother's Day and this whole process of pregnancy and labor and giving birth can really serve as a metaphysical experience for what all of us go through and experience as we, on occasions in our life, birth a new life and a new reality. And so there's an analogy there, you know, because as we are going on our spiritual paths, we might be experiencing things that resemble morning sickness, discomfort, looking at ourselves in the mirror and not being all that pleased, and an extremely incredible, painful delivery as we bring new life into the world. And then we understand that it's also analogous with motherhood, that that's only the first part of the equation. Having given birth to a new life, a new awareness, a new consciousness, now we have a responsibility to feed it and to comfort it and to nourish it and to nurture it and to try to ensure its growth in the world. And this is something that involves an awful lot of unselfishness, an awful lot of caring, and an awful lot of love, and an awful lot of vulnerability. And if that's not ministry in the truest sense of the word, then I do not know what is. If we were to ask somebody what their relationship was like with their moms, or is like with their moms, they might begin to tell us stories. They might share times that go all the way back to when they were children. And mom came along and bandaged their knees after they had fallen. Or they might tell us about the times that mom would read them a bedtime story, or sing them to sleep at night, to sing them a lullaby, or check under the beds and in the closet to make sure there weren't any monsters present in the room. Or they might think back to where, you know, mom was there when we graduated from eighth grade or from high school. Or they might remember a time when we were in some real trouble. And where was mom? Mom was right there beside us. And all of these things are special. And that's why they are so deeply embedded in our memories. But as special as these things may have been, and no matter how precious those memories of those things might be, they only describe the relationship. They do not define it. Because whenever we talk about history and things that have occurred, things that have taken place, things that have happened, we are really engaging in world speak. And there's absolutely, positively nothing wrong with this. But today, I want to talk to you from a different perspective. I want to examine the why of it all from a spiritual perspective. What is the underlying miracle of motherhood? And make no mistakes, it absolutely, positively is a miracle in the strongest sense of the word. Maternal instincts are absolutely one of the more powerful forces in the entire universe. I can't think of any force that is greater that would allow you to put aside the force of self-preservation the way maternal instincts take over the situation. A week and a half ago, we had a situation at our house because we discovered that in one of our window wells of the house, there was a skunk, complete with her litter of seven babies. And when the wildlife people came out and looked at the situation, after commenting, geez, I've never seen anything like this before, he assured me that there was no way that Mom had given birth to those skunks in that window well. And what happened is the cover from the well was dislodged, and he said she obviously fell down into it. And then being aware and conscious of the separation that was involved, she cried out to her babies, who incidentally were under the front stoop of the house, and they responded and they came to Mom and joined her in the window well. And you just think about this and the incredible bond that exists between an individual and the new life that the individuals have given birth to. The story, by the way, has a happy ending. The wildlife person dropped a few drops of something there to induce them to go to sleep, and then he was able to collect them and haul them all off to a shelter somewhere out in the forest preserves. But what I'm calling here an instinct really is a very beautiful call to ministry from God. And motherhood could be very intimidating, but it is really a powerful ministry. Because the call to motherhood is a call to accept, embrace, and engage in the process of creating a new reality. And it's important for us to understand that this is not something that is not limited physically to bringing babies into the world. This is something that we are all called to engage in, a process that we are all called to engage in a very meaningful way. And bringing babies into the world may be among the more spectacular ramifications of answering this call. But there's something that's even deeper, more profound, more sacred than that. And that is an affirmation on our part when we stand up and we say, yes, I agree to participate in the ongoing process of creation. And if we're going to celebrate this Mother's Day and try to make it meaningful in some more powerful sense, it's important to have an awareness of that on a general level, as well as having an awareness of our own personal experiences in bringing new life into the world. And that is why we celebrate Mother's Day, to bring forth and call into our heads a consciousness of a really sacred sacrament. And to understand how it signifies and is testimony, ongoing testimony, to God being so incredibly active in our lives, in absolutely everything that we possibly do. And guess what? This is not something that is limited just to a call to women. But rather it is a call to the woman that exists in each and every one of us. Because in reality, God is neither male nor female, and yet at the same time, God is both male and female. Obviously, I have never given physical birth. I have been blessed. I got to witness the birth of both of my daughters when they came into the world. And I got to witness the birth of two of my three grandchildren. And just to take a sidebar here, ladies, I want to tell you something. Having witnessed what my wife went through at that time and having witnessed what my daughter went through at that time, absolutely, positively, without question, you are the stronger sex. Okay? Hands down, no contest. But again, what I witnessed can be taken out and carried out and attached to a metaphysical meeting, because as I related before, in that whole process, you know, from beginning with gestation and going on from there, this is something that we all experience on a very real level in some really significant way. The concept of giving birth or birthing runs throughout the scripture stories. And so very early on in the book of Genesis, we see that Sarah, who is already a very old lady, is called to give birth. And she can't believe it. But she says yes. And so she and Abraham have a son, Isaac. But by virtue of her participation in this process, they gave birth not only to a son, but into an entirely new nation. And then, of course, there's Mary, who would have been a young girl, probably 14, 15 years of age, maybe even 13 years old, who was asked and called upon to give birth to the Messiah. And she must have been absolutely terrified, because she was already betrothed to Joseph, and this must have been, you know, in a violation of all kinds of rules and guidelines culturally. But again, she answers that call with a yes. And it's important to understand that these two examples that I were giving are not just examples of giving physical birth to baby boys. They played a key role in giving birth on each occasion to a whole new consciousness. They gave birth to an enhanced visibility of the presence of God in the world and in each and every one of our lives. It was a sacred commission that was handed to them. And this is a sacred commission that is handed to every single mom that is no less significant. And it's a sacred commission that is handed to every son and daughter that is absolutely no less significant. We are here, we are called to say yes and engage in this process and give birth to newness, to new life on all kinds of levels, on all new, deeper levels of appreciation and awareness. And I admit that what I'm talking about here this morning is not so readily easily seen. So much of our lives is all about survival. You know, we have to make sure that we put food on the table. We try to get the best possible education that we can for our kids. And we work our jobs and we tend to the house. And we have to make sure that the mortgage is paid. And when we are in the midst of these very mundane things, it's so hard for us to see beyond the task that is immediately before us. And that's why we set aside this day, again, for the importance of recognizing that all of us who are in the least bit engaged in this are engaged in a very sacred sacrament. There's some element that's involved here that is absolutely, positively holy, in the most meaningful, most profound sense of that word. Growing up, when she was a little girl, my understanding, I wasn't there, my understanding was that it was really pretty tough times for my mom. So tough, in fact, that her mom, my grandmother, sent her and her sisters out into the streets, literally to beg for coins in an attempt to try to make ends meet. And so Mom wasn't schooled. She wasn't educated. She wasn't trained in any of the social graces. And she didn't have experience in terms of outwardly expressing her feelings. And so in all my entire life, I never heard the words come out of her mouth, "I love you," directed to me or to any of my siblings. But boy, when we were in trouble, was she there. And sometimes she would just pray in the form of weeping and sobbing until we got through a situation. And the point that I'm trying to make here with my mom is that she dealt with the tools that she had. She played the hand that was dealt to her. And I strongly believe that all of us are doing the best that we can, and that all moms really on some level are trying to do the very best that they can, given what they have to work with. Given your level of consciousness, wherever it might be at any given time and at any given moment. When I was growing up, I was, no surprise, a bit of a smart aleck. And when I was about 10 years old, I was getting in the face of somebody who was like 4 or 5 years older than I was. And I wasn't worried, because if he ever laid a hand on me, my brother would have absolutely dealt with him. And so I was pretty obnoxious. So he had this creative idea that what he was going to do to get even with me, he went to a payphone, he called my house, got my mother on the line and said, "Hey, Mrs. Corcoran, I'm calling because your son's been arrested for stealing fruit at a store in Chicago Avenue." And all of a sudden, I'm outside, oblivious to all this, but I see my mom barreling down the street with this incredible look of worry and concern on her face. And I intercepted me, and she told me what was going on. But what I witnessed and I realized at that moment is how much I was cared for, how much I was loved. The concept of motherhood has changed drastically over the centuries. Over the past 70 years, television has paraded in front of us a whole list of different types of moms. You know, it starts with somebody like June Cleaver and goes on to Carol Brady and maybe to Edith Bunker and then to, I forgot the first name, the Simpson mom, Marge Simpson. Okay. And all of these characterizations are important, because each of them may be represented a modification of consciousness in terms of what mothers should be like. And it's something that fit in and was appropriate at that time. But more than anything, they built a foundation upon which to grow further consciousness. And this is what a spiritual journey is all about. You take and embrace what was, you take and embrace what is, and then you let it go in a way that allows you to build upon it and to move forward. The days are gone, for the most part, when moms are expected to do nothing but stay at home, maintain it, make sure that there was a clean, immaculate house, take care of the kids, wear a nice dress and a bright smile when dad walked through the door. These days, women are much more involved in the world. These days, women have a sense of identity that perhaps they are freer to define for themselves. And if they want to be involved in this thing, that, or another thing, or social action, or whatever it is, I, for one, think it is absolutely wonderful. I think it is a win situation, not just for the women and the moms involved in this, but absolutely for each and every one of us. But again, what's important for us to understand, whether you choose to identify with a lifestyle like June Cleaver, or whether you choose to be out in the world trying to make a difference, what's important to understand is that what you are really doing is engaging in that process of ministry and responding to a call. So today, whether you're at home watching television or out for dinner or engaging in a long-distance phone call with a son or daughter or a mom, or you're just spending the afternoon alone, it's really important to understand that motherhood is yours by virtue of a divine call, and motherhood is yours by virtue of how you respond to that call.